You got your Bibles? You're at Daniel chapter 6. That's where we're going to be this evening. And this will be a little bit different. As I said, we're not going to look at Daniel. We're not going to look at Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. We're not going to look at any other human individual in the book of Daniel. When we're talking about God's way, not always the same way, tonight, and this should be a one-shot sermon, and I'm not going to draw it out over multiple Sunday evenings, and we'll just go to another focus next Sunday night, Lord willing. But tonight's focus is going to be on when doing things God's way, not always the same way. It's going to be on the fight with temptation. And we are going to focus on the lions in the den. And we are going to look at the struggle that these poor little lions had in the lion's den in dealing with temptation. Now, I know this is a little different. I told you, I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to have fun with this because this is not typically what you focus on when you talk about Daniel and the lion's den. It's always about Daniel, how Daniel survived and all that Daniel went through. No, I'm going to show you what the lions went through and look at it from their point of view and how we can learn a little bit of a lesson in doing it God's way, not always the same way, in this area of fighting the temptation, fighting with temptation when trying to follow God's way. Look at Daniel chapter 6 now in verse number 13 down to verse number 17. I'm going to read this, kind of give us the basis, we'll pray, and then I'm going to give you the three. I got three main points with three subpoints apiece. Don't worry. We're not going to do a lot of scripture jumping this evening like we did this morning. But I just got the points on here so I can stay on track, okay? We'll go straight through it. But starting in verse number 13 of Daniel chapter 6, it says, "Then answered they and said," now these are the men that came before the king, and they've got the king to actually put out the decree, King Darius, to put out the decree that no one is to pray or worship any god other than Darius. And so he, unfortunately, is in a very unwise decision, followed their suggestion. And I think for a moment, Darius was kind of lifted up in pride that these men would hail him so important. They think, you ought to make this decree. You're so important. You ought to make sure that no one can bring any petition to anyone but you. And for a moment there, Darius thought, that's a good idea. I like that. That makes me important. But he very quickly here finds out it's not quite what he thought it was. And he learns that he has been trapped into doing something that he's not going to like. Verse 13. "Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah." Now, right away you can tell these men don't like him too much. At this point, you already find in Daniel chapter 6 that Daniel himself is put out of the princes over the kingdom there. Out of all the princes placed over certain areas, Daniel is chief. He's number one. And since he is part of the children of the captivity, as they say it, these men don't like that. You know, no slave should be higher in prominence than us. And so they've sought to get rid of Daniel. And it goes on, they say, that Daniel, which of the children of captivity of Judah, regardeth thee not, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, not with Daniel. He was displeased with himself. He realized, I've been had. I've been taken by these no good trickery and the tricksters that are working here for me. And he goes on and says, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. And he tried everything he possibly could to change what was happening. Verse number 15 tells us, "And these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, now, O king, the law of the Medes, the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed. Can you see how they came into the... Now, hold on, King. Now, you know, don't you go breaking the rules now. You know the laws of the Medes and the Persians. You can't change it. Now, you signed this in into law. You did this. Now, don't you go trying to go back on your word. That's not legal. In today's terminology, they would trick things into happening. They go like, now, you know it's not criminal to change it. That's what they were doing, okay? We had the same stuff going on today. Back and forth, everybody trying to get their way and abuse the system so as to then turn around and try to use the system they abused for their own gain and purpose. Nothing's changed in humanity other than the players and particular circumstance. As it goes on here, they've reminded the king now in verse number 15 that he cannot legally change it because he has written it into law. Verse number 16 tells us, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Now at that moment he's saying in a statement, he will deliver thee. Later on he says, oh Daniel, did your God deliver you? And he's asking because at this time I don't believe Darius, he respected Daniel. He respected the God of Daniel, but I don't believe he really knew who God was. But he learns through this scenario, exactly who God is and how powerful he is. Verse number 17 tells us, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. And so the fate has been sealed. The king has to follow his law. And so he is placed here in this position. And now Daniel is in the den of lions. So we're going to stop focusing on Daniel. We're going to stop focusing on Darius. And we're going to go to, what about those poor lions? And we're going to look at these lions. And we're going to look at the lion's state, the lion's struggle, and then the lion's supper. And we're going to look at how doing things God's way is not always the same way, but it always produces a benefit. And while trying to seek God's way and doing things the way that the Lord would have us do them, many times there is a fight with temptation that must take place. And that temptation is going to be strong. But we have to resist the temptation to go against the will of God so as to be able to see in the end the blessings that God can bring because of faithfulness and consistency to do it God's way. And so let's pray. And then I'm going to give you these simple points. And we'll be done for this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much once again for the freedom we have to be in this place for this purpose, to hear the word of God preached, to sing songs that would glorify and magnify you as our Heavenly Father and our Savior. And I pray that you would, Lord, help us with all that's been done, the singing and all that's encouraged our hearts. May everything come to a point now as we look at your word, that we be focused in and that we pay attention to the issue, as we look at a little bit of a different angle at this story that you've given of the facts of what happened to Daniel, and may we understand the value in our lives of following your way in the fight against the temptations so that we might please you above all, and Lord, that we might allow you to pour out the blessings in the end because we stayed with your will and your way in our lives. I pray that you just teach us something that we need tonight that only you can teach, and we'll give you the honor and glory for it all in Christ's name. Amen. Well, in looking at this, let's just simply look at the lion's state. You got to understand the situation the lions were in. First off, they were in captivity. Literally, I mean, they're in the lion's den. Now, that could have been a couple of different scenarios depending on the elite status or the base status of how they would design these things. If you go to the Colosseum of Rome, they had lions as well. And the Colosseum was a very intricate underground tunnel system that that had caging systems for lions and for their other animals, as well as for the slaves. And they would actually bring them through the different tunnel systems and then out the doors. Sometimes it was through the base of the floor, sometimes out through the sides into the arena. But it was a very intricate, very, very well-designed setup. And lions were used in multiple ways there during Roman times. But in this situation, it could have been something similar to that. They could have had a den and the lions weren't there the entire time. Possibly they could have been in the storage areas being held off in cages and just brought into the den when it was time to eat. And therefore, when they came into the den, they knew instantly it's feeding time. And you're talking about a particular purpose. They weren't just pets. These lions were used for the purpose of causing fear. They were used for the purpose of bringing about punishment. They were used to help keep people in line, because you did not want to go into the lion's den. If you went into the lion's den, you were not coming out alive. If you came out at all, you probably were lunch all the way down to the last little nibble. And so these lions were captive. And it could have been, like I said, the cages, and they were brought in. Or it could have just been a literal pit. They could have just dug a huge pit, got the lions down in there, and that's where they stayed all the time. And then if you got thrown in, you're done. Any of y'all ever watched Swiss Family Robinson? Remember, he caught his tiger. He dug a deep pit. They caught his tiger. The tiger was down there, and we watched it just the other night. It's one of my favorite movies. Again, I can do away with the whole part. The only part I like is when it comes to the fight, the coconut bombs and everything else. But I remember as a kid, I wanted to chasing a rabbit. Hold on. But as a kid, I wanted to make one of those things. I did. I wanted to make a coconut bomb and throw it. But my parents wouldn't let me. But The whole point is that pit they dug there, the tiger was stuck. It could have been something similar to that on a much larger scale. But regardless, we know that the lions were captive. And through that, we also know that they were craving, because they were starved. These lions, they would not be starved to the point of being so weak they could not do their job. These lions would be held back from food just enough to make them hungry, so that they were literally on the edge of frustration. They wanted food. They had strength. They had the ability to win any battle. You throw anything in there and they're going to devour it. But they were just hungry enough that it wasn't going to be like, "Eh, I don't like the way he smells," and walk. No, if anything came in there, they were going after it. They were just hungry enough to be desperate for food and yet not lose their strength. They were kept that way, again, because it produced a great fear, knowing that there was no survival when you went into the den. And the last thing in the lion's state is this. And again, this is just for the lightheartedness of it, but they were cranky. They're captive, they're craving, and they're cranky. Why? They haven't been fed. They're hungry. They're in this captivity state. And I guarantee you, you're talking about wild animals that don't want to be captive. And I guarantee you, they were not happy. Most people knew. You're not going to sweet talk the lions. I mean, they're cranky. And they're going to take it out on you. And so you go down there, you're a dead man. So the lions were captive. They were craving and they were cranky. That was the state they were in. The lion's struggle. The lion's struggle is, you have to understand that in this situation, we're talking about now Daniel going into the den. These lions were trained to kill. Their entire purpose was to kill. And therefore, for Daniel to go into the lion's den and the lions to not be allowed to eat him goes against everything that they were naturally, not just by their natural state of they are carnivores and they are hunters and they kill, but they're even trained beyond that. They have been taught to be deadly machines for this kingdom. They're taught to be a punishment for this, just like you would have the Roman soldiers who were well taught and well trained when it comes to the whipping of people and how to crucify someone just right to do the best job. When you talk about Christ being scourged, listen, the ones who did the scourging, they were masters. They were trained. They took great pride in being able to inflict as much pain as possible without allowing someone to die. And these lions, understand, they're in captivity, yes, but they have been taught, much like a pit bull has been, they have the history of being known as a killer kind of pet. A pit bull, we had a neighbor that had a pit bull, well, actually multiple pit bulls, but I'm just not too crazy about them. Because a pit bull, I'll admit this, they can be as sweet a dog as any other pet. If you raise them right, you take care of them, you love them, they can be a very sweet dog and a lot of fun. They don't know their own strength, but they're a lot of fun. He had one. I mean, that thing was just stocky. Her name was Lady. And she come over there. Her tail was like a cedar beam, honestly. That thing was so hard. Her tail was wagging and hit your leg, you would have thought somebody was beating you with a limb. It's like, I'm bruised now. She was so large, she'd come by and she'd get up close to you and she'd just kind of lean over on you like, I want you to pet me. Problem is, she weighed 100 pounds or more and just, boom, oh my goodness. But she didn't know her own strength. She loved to have fun. She wanted to jump on you. She'd knock you over. But she wasn't very, very tall dog, but she was just stocky. But as a pit bull, though, here's the thing. She has the potential, Lady, that sweet little dog, has the potential to be as mean and as killer dog as any other pit bull. It all depends on the individual that owns them and what they train them to do. The lions themselves have a natural tendency to be killers. But in this particular situation, because of the way they feed them and then don't feed them and feed them and then don't feed them or give them just enough, every bit of it has trained these lions to devour anything that comes in their pit. It is their natural understanding that when something is dropped in, we fight over it and we go for it. So the struggle for the lions is, as Daniel is lowered and put into the pit, that everything in them, it had to go against every single bit of their natural tendency as well as their trained tendency not to devour him. Because that's what they were there to do. And it's what they did all the time. You think about it, we're talking about doing it God's way, not always the same way. The same way was, dropped in, you die. You come to our house and we devour you. You get placed in here and you are lunch. And that's to say every single time, nonstop, every time, the same thing happened, the same thing happened, the same thing happened. They were there to kill whatever was dropped in. Now also, you have to understand when Daniel was placed in there, not that it only go against their training and against their natural habit of killing, but also that temptation was with them all night. Their temptation, that single meal that they've been waiting for a long time, Daniel may not have been, I don't know how many lions were in there. Let's just say there are five or six lions in there. And I guarantee you this much, one man is not going to be very much of a meal for five or six lions. But when you're hungry, you don't care. Hey, you take an arm, I'll take an arm. You take a leg, I'll take the leg. Hey, let's divide them up, boys, come on. And I mean, when you think about it, just go out and get everything you can, but here it is. They have to go against their natural habitat of a natural way of doing things and what they've been trained to above that. And the way they would want to devour, they cannot. And that temptation to do it the way it's always been done. Snack has been delivered. We're supposed to devour it, but we can't. The temptation stayed with them all night long. And you see that because we know in verse number 18 to verse number 20, let me just read it for you. It says, then the king went to, after they placed him in there, he's sealed in. Daniel is now in the den of lions. It says, then the king went to his palace and placed and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually. It's funny how he always used that word continually. Daniel had a testimony that even the king recognized. The God whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions. So we know all night long, these poor lions who were captive, craving, they're hungry, and they're cranky, who are trained and by natural habit supposed to kill and be carnivores, had to live with their temptation that they could not give in to all night long. What they were used to doing, they could not do. What they always performed, they could not perform. Because the Bible tells us, as Daniel tells the king in verse 22, I'm not going to read it, but he says, my God has sent his angel to shut the mouths of the lions. These lions there were with Daniel all night, and yet all they could do is look at that luscious steak, and they could not even take a lick. They couldn't. If I guarantee if they went and they sniffed him, thinking the wrong kind of thoughts, the Lord would have said, I saw that. The temptation was there. They could not do it the way they always do it. God's will was to do it a different way. They could not eat what was placed before them. And so they spent all night with their snack without touching it. And then the last thing is this. Though they were trained to kill, this is their struggle, they were trained to kill, their temptation was with them all night, and yet, that last little bit, they went without food once again. Now think about this, this is where we're going to get, kind of down to a reality setting. In verse number 21, the Bible tells us that, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. So there's your answer right there. Daniel is alive the next morning, and he does get taken out of the lion's den. We're going to continue on in just a minute. But the entire night, their temptation is before them. Everything that they normally do, they cannot do. They have to wait there, and because God says, you're not to have this meal, you're to leave him alone. And we often talk about Daniel making a pillow out of one of the lions. He didn't just go down to the den. He snuggled up to him and said, come here, boys, fluff y'all up a little bit. And use the lions as his bedding. Okay. And gracious, you put a lot of lions around you, it might stay warm. And so I don't know what all happened in the den. All I know is the lions had a meal brought before them and they couldn't touch it. And they spent all night with their temptation with them, and they could not give in to the temptation. They had to do it God's way, not always the same way. And in the end, because they did it God's way, the lions went without a meal. Now here's where we get down to some reality. When you do things God's way, sometimes we don't get what we think we're about to receive. Sometimes when I do it God's way, I don't get the extra paycheck. Sometimes when I do it God's way, I don't end up with the raise I was hoping to get. Sometimes I do it God's way, and the people I thought were going to be on my side end up going against me. Sometimes I do it God's way, and what I was expecting as an automatic result of doing God's way in my life doesn't happen. Those lions were in there. They did it all night long. They did it God's way. All night long, they did not devour Daniel, as was the custom, and it was their job. That's what they did every single time, but this time they couldn't do it that way. And when it was all said and done, it wasn't a thing of the Lord said, okay, lions, y'all survived all night, now you can have them. Good boys, y'all did it. You waited until I said, now, devour. No. Daniel was taken out of the pit, and their meal for that night not only was with them and they could not touch it, but the next morning it was taken away and they had nothing. When you think about it, you understand that the principle we're getting to is doing it God's way does not always immediately reveal the blessings. It doesn't automatically, just because I followed God's will, so where is all the wonderful things that God's going to do for me because I did His way? He's automatically going to instantly give me everything I need. No. Sometimes it'll look darker before it ever gets light. Sometimes it'll look like I just went deeper in the hole before the Lord says, oh, just wait. You've been faithful. It's not that I'm not going to provide and I'm not going to take care of you, but I'm just going to prove that I can do way more than you could have done for yourself. And sometimes you got to go a little bit further down before you realize this is more than you could have done ever. And these lions, here they are, their meal for the night is with them, but they can't touch it. And then the next morning, that meal is taken out and they're left with nothing. So imagine their struggle. They're captive, they're craving, and they're cranky. They're trained to kill. They have a natural instinct to kill. Their temptation is with them all night long, but they can't touch it. And the next morning, they're rewarded by losing the food altogether. Now, if I was a lion, I'd be kind of depressed right about now. But then, last part. I told you it wouldn't take long. The lions suffer. Now, y'all know where we're headed. If y'all know the story of Daniel. But there's a couple things I want to point out to you. The lions suffer. Actually, not a couple. Three things. So I guess you have to say it to be correct. A few things we want to point out. Number one, disobedience on the part of the lions would have produced a lack of provision. If the lions had disobeyed God's command to keep their mouths shut, they would have devoured Daniel, but Daniel would have never been enough for all the lions to really get a meal. If they had done it their way, they would have gotten something, but it still would have lacked a true provision that could have been given to them. Listen, sometimes when we do things our way and we fail to do it God's way, we might have a little bit, because of what we can do for ourselves, we can produce a little bit of what we need and what we think we want and what we think we've got to have. And we can give ourselves a little bit of relief. But the problem is, God's not looking to provide a little bit of relief. He's looking to provide all that we need and more. And we can do a little bit for ourselves. And if we do it our way, we will, in the end, the disobedience to doing it God's way, but we decided to do it our way, would have brought about and will bring about in our lives a lack of provision, not the blessings of provision in our life. We will provide a little bit, but we'll still always be lacking the full amount of what we need. And we will struggle, and we will fight, and we will have a hard time, and we're going to stress out, and everything about it's going to be, well, you know, we're trying our best. We just cannot seem to get ahead. We just cannot seem to stay ahead. We just cannot seem to take care of all of this. Why doesn't God help us? Well, sometimes God's trying to, but we're getting in His way because instead of doing it God's way, we keep trying to do it our way. Instead of doing it God's way, we keep trying to do it the way I did it last time and the way God had me do it before. And listen, it's God's way, not always the same old way. If the lions had done it the same old way, they would have eaten a little bit, but it wouldn't have been enough to make them all full. So disobedience would have brought about lack of provision. Disobedience also, I believe, would have brought about consequences for the lions. I fully believe this. God is in control enough. He controls the life of every living thing. That I believe this, had any of those lions decided to go take a nibble off of Daniel, I believe God would have killed that lion right then because he disobeyed. Not only would he have gotten very little out of that meal that Daniel would have provided, but I believe in the end God would have said, okay, lion, you're done. Consequences always come because of disobedience. And I believe, honestly, again, I cannot point that out, but I know this much. God sent His angel to shut the mouths of the lions. You want to remind me of an angel? There's been a few angels in the Bible that have been present for God's purpose. A couple of them, at least, were angels with swords. One was at the Garden of Eden. God placed an angel with a sword, that no man could come back into the garden, and so Adam and Eve could not turn back around. He placed a guard with a sword, and should any of them try to come back in, that angel would kill them. The other time was when you're dealing with Balaam and the donkey. And the donkey saw the angel with the sword, and he's going, no, I ain't going over there. And Balaam couldn't see it, but had Balaam gotten any closer, had Balaam tried to pass through, I believe that angel had charge to deal with the situation. And I believe you have an angel of the Lord going to shut the mouths of the lions. And should one of those lions have fought against the will of God and the direct instructions from the angel of God, had one of those lions fought against and said, "No, I'm hungry. I want to eat now," and gone out to Daniel, I believe that angel would have had plenty of authority to say, "You know what? Dead. You're not going to touch him. You're not going to get him. That's not God's way. That's not God's plan. You will go tonight without being able to take a part of this little snack that has been given you. You're going to go tonight having to fight the temptation and just be obedient to your Creator." And those lions spent the entire night obeying God, shut their mouths, and did not devour Daniel. So their disobedience would have brought about a lack of provision. Their disobedience would have brought about consequences in their life. But obedience. What did obedience do? Here's the last thing. Obedience produced an abundant blessing. Look at verse number 22 through verse number 24. And this is where we're going to end. Verse number 22. Daniel tells us what happens there in the den to start with. He says, "My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him, God, innocency, gotta get that out there, was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God." That right there is proof that the lions obeyed God's way. Now, as I said, because of their obedience, their meal was removed from them. Now they have nothing. Because they did it God's way, they have nothing to show for it. But things turn around. For the lions, of course. Not much for the next fellows. Verse number 24. "And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel. And they cast them into the den of lions." But not just them. They cast those men. And the Bible says, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them. God said, "Have at it, boys. Lunch is served." They had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Those lions were waiting before they even hit the floor. They were lunching, buffeting themselves on everything that was dropped in. Listen. What the lions did not understand was, and was realized in the very end, that by obeying God's command and doing it God's way, what they were given was taken away from them, and they had nothing once Daniel left the den. But in the end, the reality is, they exchanged a mere snack that wouldn't have taken care of all of them for an entire meal that more than fed every one of them that was there. One Daniel, and let's just say there was one man, one wife, and one child. I believe there's probably more than just that for each family. There might have been multiple children. That day could have been multiple wives. But you're looking at least what you have at least two or three other men that are involved in this. So let's say there's three men, three wives, three children, 3, 6, 9. They exchanged one for at least 9. 1 to 9 is pretty good odds. I think I would give the 1 back to get 9. And they come in all sizes. And so, I know that sounds awful, doesn't it? It's so morbid. But when you look at this, listen, I told you it's going to be a little bit lighthearted tonight with the whole thing. But when you look at the lions, they exchanged one meager little snack. And look what they got in exchange for doing it God's way. They simply obeyed. They dealt with the temptation all night. They went without food once again, having appeared to have lost everything because they did it God's way. And in the end, their obedience produced abundant blessings. More than what those men intended to feed the lions, God intended to feed them even more. Much to the detriment of the men that tried to feed Daniel to the lions. But I would hate to have been the ones to go against God's man and try to feed the man of God to the lions, because it did not end well for them. They had lunch with the lions, and they were lunch. But when you look at this, you understand, as God's people, if we're going to do it God's way, it's not always going to be the same way. Much like those lions, they were trained, they were prepared. I like my points. Let me just do that. They were captive, craving, and cranky. I like my points. That last one especially. They were held captive. They were hungry. And they weren't happy about it. They were trained to kill. And it was their natural instinct to kill. Their temptation was with them all night. And once they gave in and did what God said to do, they lost what they had. And had nothing to show for it. But should they have disobeyed, they would have had a lack of provision. Should they have disobeyed, they would have brought about consequences on themselves. But through their obedience, it produced abundant blessings. They could not have feasted on Daniel even a fraction as much as they feasted on what came because of obedience. Now, I understand we're talking about lions. But can you not see how it works with us as a child of God as well? It may not be what we're used to doing. It may not be what the only thing we've ever known. It might be a whole different scenario. Lord, I've never walked this path before. I've never gone down this trail before. I've never faced these kind of things before. Lord, this is different. This is not the same as you've always done in my life. Lord, I don't know what to do. My default is I want to kind of go back to over here. But no, it's not always the same way. Sometimes He takes us down different paths. Sometimes He tells us to do something other than what we're comfortable with. And He says, I want you to do it my way, not just the old same way. I want you to step out to my mission. I want you to step out by faith and do something different. I want you to step out by faith and do a little bit more. Lord, I don't know if I can hit. No. Do it my way, not the same way. The same way is you go to your budget, you look and see, and what can I possibly give God out of what I think I can afford? That might be your same way of doing it. And God says, no, how about this? Why don't you just say, Lord, you place it on my heart and I'll trust you to put it in my hands. And if you put it in my hands, it's yours. Here's one thing I've always found. You give God what belongs to Him. Not just in tithes, but even when it comes to faith promise missions. The Lord lays an amount. Here's a precursor to the missions conference. Lord lays on my heart an amount that I'm supposed to give. It's not okay, Lord, if you place it in my hand, I will give it. No. Faith promise is, Lord, you've already placed it in my heart. I've committed it. I give it to you, and I trust you to put back in my hands what I need to pay my bills. And I trust you to put it back in my hands what I need to do the extra. Lord, my tires need to be replaced, but I'm not going to take what I promised you and try to do that. I'm going to give what I promised you to you first, and I'm going to trust that you, by faith, are going to put back in my hands what I need for tires. Well, that's a weird concept. Sounds like you're putting a whole bunch of faith in that God. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, faith, promise, okay? I just believe if I can trust Him with my eternal soul, I can trust Him with the little meager things of everyday life. And if I make a promise to Him, it's better to not vow a vow than to vow a vow and not keep it. It doesn't mean that you don't vow vows. It doesn't mean that you don't make promises to God because I'm afraid I won't be able to keep it. No, you make the promise and you do it with such sobriety and seriousness and knowing that I'm making a promise to God. I am going to commit this to God because He laid it on my heart and I'm going to be obedient. It's not the same way I've done it before. It's not the same amount I've given before. It's not the same way I've served God before. But I'm going to do it this time because it's what He wants. And I'm going to be faithful to do it His way, and if I do it His way versus my way, He can bring about abundant provision and abundant blessings to do more for me than I could have done for myself had I kept it for me and done it my way. The lions could have eaten Daniel, and it would have left them hungry and left them having to face God for disobeying. But they obeyed. Did it God's way. And in the end, they got a 4-course meal and had more than they could ever possibly hope for. We can be the same way as we serve the Lord, as we follow Him. But you have to be careful, because the temptation to do it our way and the temptation to jump off that path that God has asked us to walk with Him, the temptation to leave and try what I'm used to instead of doing the unusual or doing something that is not what I've normally done, the temptation to stop following God and start following the old paths will always be with you. Much like Daniel was there all night long for those lions to look at, and just I believe they were drooling over him. They couldn't touch him, but the temptation was there. Listen, you make a commitment to God, whether it's your service, whether it's in your giving, whether it's toward it's your children, whatever. You make a commitment to God concerning anything that is in your ability to commit to God out of your life. And the temptation to go back on that, the temptation to take it back in your hands will always be there. It will be present. Because Satan knows if we give in to temptation, we remove ourselves from the opportunity for God to bless and provide the way He wants to. The only thing that gets in the way of God's blessings is us. Do we remove ourselves? Hey, the Lord wants to open the windows of heaven that He might pour out a blessing. The only one that can close the windows is our disobedience. It's us. And so learn a lesson from the lions and realize that through obedience, no matter the struggle, no matter the background, no matter the issues, obedience will produce abundant blessings as we place in God's hands the ability to reward faithfulness in His servants. Heavenly Father, I